How many know that kids can be challenging at times? You know, I mean, whether you're a parent or a grandparent, some of you are even like honorary moms and dads to kids. You know, they could be nieces and nephews. But kids could be very challenging. And my mother wasn't kidding when she said I gave her gray hair. It reminds me of a story of Jimmy. His mother was trying to read a book. She had spent the whole day caring for the house and so forth. And finally, she thought Jimmy was sleeping. He said, Mommy, could I have some water? She brought him water. 5 minutes later, he said it again. And he kept doing that. And finally, she says, Jimmy, if you call Mommy one more time, you're going to get it. So 5 minutes later, he said, Mrs. Brown, they really know how to challenge you in very creative ways. But you know what I realize? Kids don't come with instructions. They don't have a tag attached to them like Cabbage Patch dolls, right? You know, but God has something to say about raising children. You know, when Myung-Chul became pregnant with our first child, we were so ecstatic. I mean, Myung-Chul was wearing maternity dresses the first week she found out she was pregnant, even though it wasn't showing. We were so excited because it was almost 7 years before we conceived a child, and it was a beautiful moment. But we didn't have the foggiest idea on how to raise a kid. You know, back then there were few books, or I don't know of any books, on the subject. There was no Amazon. There was no Barnes & Noble. You know, today you go to Barnes & Noble or you go on Amazon, and there's a whole section on parenting that wasn't there when we became parents. And again, kids don't come with instructions, but I really believe, and if I could keep driving that home, God does come with instructions, especially when it comes to parenting and dealing with kids. So the writer of our scripture this morning states, in part, these are the commands, these are the decrees, these are the laws the Lord your God directed me to teach. And what that says to me is, those laws and teaching are instructions. And so, yes, we can find instructions, especially when it comes to taking care of our kids and our grandchildren. And so the writer says, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear, and fear is not being afraid, but to worship and revere the Lord your God. And so that's a tremendous onus on the part of parents and grandparents, I believe, is to teach the children the ways of the Lord. And he states that we are to teach these instructions so that we and them may enjoy a long life. And so the writer states that God's instructions are to be written upon our heart. Now, I find that very interesting. We're to impress this upon our children so it's not just surface, but it actually resonates deep within our children to love God. And he tells us that we must talk about God's instructions with our children on a regular basis. He says when you're sitting around the house, when you're walking with them along the way, before they go to bed at night, to teach them God's decrees, and when they get up in the morning to do the same. One of the important things I think is really important is to pray for our kids before they go to bed. Say a little prayer. They wait for that. My wife was sharing a story with our oldest grandson, who's now 22, and he remembered it vividly. He was staying with us for a while, and my wife would always tuck him in bed and say a prayer with him. She forgot, so she ran upstairs, and he was asleep at the top of the steps waiting for grandma. I mean, you see, he was waiting to be prayed for. And I think that's so beautiful. And that's what the writer is saying here, because this was important to every Jew, even until this very day, preparing children for either their bar mitzvah or their bat mitzvah, to impress upon them the decrees of God, the instructions of God. And he writes, tie these instructions of God on their hands, which you will see, and upon their foreheads, the phylactery boxes with scripture in it. Have you ever seen that in the Jewish faith? When my wife and I would fly to Israel, we've gone many times, the religious Jews would get up and go to the back of the plane and wrap up their arm and put on their phylactery boxes and pray. It was a beautiful thing to see and experience their devout devotion to their God, that they took time out, even in a flight, to worship God. And the kids watched their fathers and mothers do that, and it was an example before them. And as I've shared in other sermons, what about the mezuzah that's placed on the doorpost of a Jewish home? Why is that there? That's there so that whether you're going out of the house or in the house, you're always remembering that the Word of God is important. Isn't that amazing? I wish many Christians would think that way. Before I leave the house and when I come home, I'm thinking of God. I'm thinking of God's decrees and his laws. And so you see, the Word of God and God's instructions were important, and they were a priority in the Jewish home. A priority, more than anything else. You see, after the Romans destroyed Jerusalem in 70 AD, they devastated the temple. They scattered the Jews, the great diaspora, all over the world. And so there was no longer a temple to go up to in Jerusalem and to worship. And so what did the rabbis do? The rabbis called it Mikdash Miat, which means every home is a sanctuary. Isn't that beautiful? Mikdash Miyash. Every home is a sanctuary. So no matter, you may not have the temple in Jerusalem any longer, O children of Israel, but your home is a sanctuary. And treat it as such, a small sanctuary. And we Christians can learn from their examples. The religious Jew godly instruction was extremely important, and it was not left up to the schools or the internet or television, or for that matter, even the temple, even the Jewish temple today. It was left up to the families in the home where the word would be taught and instructed. A small sanctuary, the house, the home. So Jesus said in Matthew 6:21, he says, for where your treasure is, there also lies your heart. And the treasure for the Jewish home was family. Family was everything. I grew up in a Jewish neighborhood, and kids were going to be doctors whether they liked it or not. You're going to be a doctor. One of my good friends that I played basketball with, Mark Feldman, he didn't want to be a doctor, but guess what? Mark is a dentist today because mom and dad said you're going to be a doctor. And so the home was so important for instruction and encouragement and quality time spent together so that you can impart in those children the decrees and the instructions of the Lord. Today we witness families that unfortunately are fragmented. The two boys will be up in the den watching television or playing some video games. Sis is in her room on the phone. Dad's in his home office doing work that he brought home from his job. Mom's in the kitchen preparing bills. And they won't see each other again until it's time to either eat or to go to bed. And yet it is inferred, and there's no doubt in my mind, that these families, they love each other. It's not a matter of whether they love each other. They just don't spend any quality time together. And I think quality time is really important when you're raising children. And so no wonder someone once wrote, listen to this, children today are tyrants. They contradict their parents, they gobble down their food, and they terrorize their teachers. You know who wrote that? Socrates, over 2,000 years ago. You probably thought it was a contemporary person. No. How many remember Mr. Rogers? Mr. Rogers, the neighborhood was always a great place for Mr. Rogers. You know what? I loved Mr. Rogers because he was such a gentle and kind man. Did you know he was a Presbyterian pastor? Yeah, Mr. Rogers, he was so special. And he used to say to the children, you are special. There is no one in the world just like you. You're one of a kind. So enjoy it, children. He was an encourager. And he was a great example in how we're to treat one another. Mr. Rogers, he's a classic, I think, will be remembered by many for many years to come. He saw every single child as unique and special. And you want to know something? Kids are special, aren't they? I watched Jack come down and light these candles before. I said, my God, that kid grew 6 inches during the pandemic. What are you feeding that kid? He really shot up. And same thing with Robert when he played the violin. These kids shot up during the pandemic. I hope we don't have another year separated. Kid's going to be 6'9" and play for the Lakers. But every kid's special. Every child is special, and they need to be. They need to feel special. And I think most parents do a good job at that. And for us who might have more than one child, have you ever noticed those same kids were raised in the same house, but they're totally different? And you have to, you say, did I take the right kid home from the hospital? Or they're all very different. And that's because God made us all unique. We all have different fingerprints. I mean, we are unique. And every child is very different. You know, at times, they all want to feel the same. Have you ever noticed that? I can never figure out why their pants are always hanging down here and their hats are on sideways. But they want, you know, they want to be part of something. And so even though they're different, there's a certain age where kids want to look alike and they want to act alike. And deep within, though, they're unique and very different. You know, take teenagers, for example. And some parents will say, please, take my teenager, right? These half children and half adults living in a frantic and frightful time in their lives, middle school. Our daughter is a middle school guidance counselor. And, you know, the hormones and everything's starting to change. The voice is changing and so forth. I look at my 13-year-old granddaughter. She's starting to change. And I notice she's starting to notice boys now. It's quite interesting. But they live in a world of extremes, extreme moods, sizes, shapes, fears, desires, aims and ambitions. And these teen years are the most exciting times, but also the most trying times when these kids enter middle school. It's a transition period. And it takes a special parent with God's help to assist a special person through these extremely challenging times in their lives. You know, one thing my daughter said to me just the other day, she says, you know, Dad, I hope I could instill in my kids that they could come to me before they go to somebody else and that I'd be willing to listen to them and not judge them and not punish them. You know, it's amazing. These kids are changing every single day. One day they're short and cutesy. The next day they're tall and lean like Jack and Robert. One day they have squeaky voices, and then another grandson of mine got on the phone to wish me a happy birthday, and he sounded like a 42-year-old man.
Happy birthday, Grandpa.
So when did that happen? I mean, it happened like last week. His voice changed. It probably shook him up. And it's all part of growing up, friends. You see, when we become parents, we often forget how clumsy and awkward and the clearasil noxema moments that we had. You remember those days when you would break out and you didn't want to go to school? And maybe some of those very memories of our teenage years is something that we don't want to remember, knowing that what our kids could get into, stuff that we might have gotten into when we were teenagers. And we go, oy vey. We may have forgotten how we stood in front of a mirror for an hour before we went to school to make sure every hair was in place. When I was a kid and when I had hair, we used a pomade because everything was slick back then. And, you know, you would check out the mirror and you'd do all kind of poses, you know, because you wanted to impress that girl who sat across from you in social studies class. And that's just part of growing up. It's part of the whole system of turning into an adult. But in spite of all this, our children should at least, and our grandchildren should at least expect us to be consistent. I think consistency is important in raising kids. You know, you may be saying, okay, I've heard this before, but you don't know my kid. Oh, yes, I do. She once lived in my house. Okay, kids could be difficult. And yes, they could say the darndest things. Inconsistency, my friends, leads to confusion, and it leads to mixed signals. And one of the important things is, and I had to learn this the hard way, but my wife knew it spot on, moms and dads got to stick together when making decisions. Because when kids know how to manipulate, they're master manipulators. And if they get a no from mom and know they could get a yes from dad, they're heading to the garage. Hey, dad, can I do this? Oh, sure, go ahead. Now, dad's sleeping on the couch that night. So you got to be careful. Challenges to the family are like no other time in our history, my friends. And I believe social media, TikTok and FaceTime or all this stuff that I don't even participate in, but these kids are on it constantly. And lyrics to some of the music today. You know, when I was growing up, my girl, I got sunshine on a cloudy day. That's as bad as it got. But today the lyrics are very explicit and condescending, and it's dangerous, including video games. Some of these kids are playing video games where they're shooting cops and, you know, I think it's called Grand Larceny Auto. And I said to my kids, don't ever buy that video game because it's awful. And then there's a breakdown in morals and ethics and religion. And as life becomes more complex, the arbitrary lines and decisions grow grayer. Right? What's accepted in society today, it's very confusing to our kids. And we have to teach them the best way we can, train them up in the way a child should go. And when they grow older, they won't depart from it. Consistency is so important in dealing with children. Paul writes in 1 Timothy chapter 4, he says, listen to this, train yourself to be godly. Command and teach these things. Set an example before others in your speech, in your life, in your love, in your faith, and in your purity. In other words, the kids want to see if you're living what you're asking them to do. Are you walking the talk, or are you talking the walk? And kids will spot that immediately. You know, I don't want you to use profanity, remember, Junior, but dad on the phone arguing with somebody sounds like a sailor on furlough. So, you know, you got to be careful. You know, you got to teach them about dating and curfew and friends and dress codes and grades and chores. That's another thing is I noticed in today's society, so few parents have assigned chores to their kids. as if you're going to break them. Have them throw out the garbage. It's not going to kill you to vacuum clean. Now, my grandson's girlfriend told me the other day that her little brother intentionally clogs up the vacuum cleaner so that mom won't ask him to do it anymore. The kid's a genius. When he washes dishes, he always makes sure to break something. He doesn't wash the dishes anymore. He's brilliant. You see what I mean? Give them chores. Give them some responsibility in the home, because certainly once they leave the home, they're going to have a lot of responsibilities. James says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Be consistent, and that's what they're looking for, consistency. Just the other day, Jennifer told my wife and I, you know what? I hated you guys growing up, but as a parent now, I now know what you meant. You see, they'll get it sooner or later. You know, when we're under stress, don't transfer that stress onto your kids. You know, because you're having a bad day, don't make everybody else have a bad day. So I think it's important to be consistent. Remember to keep our promises when we promise something. Treat our kids fairly, and also be forgiving. You know, somebody says, well, I forgive you, son, but meanwhile, you got a whole list of things that you won't forget the next time he messes up. Be forgiving and let it go, and learn how to have your kid approach you when they're struggling with something. Because I'll tell you what, if the kids don't feel comfortable talking to you, they'll talk to somebody they shouldn't be talking to. And it's proven that kids that belong to gangs, they want to belong to something because they can't belong to something in the home. That's why they join gangs. It's an interesting phenomenon. You know, Be forgiving. Think about the prodigal son when he ran home. Did the father say, get out of here, you're a bum. You took all your money, you blew it, you had parties, I can't stand you, you're not welcome. No, he welcomed his son back and said, you have a place in this home. And we need to be likewise. Be forgiving. And be a good listener. Many times, I used to hear my daughter say, Dad, but you're not listening. Be a good listener. They want to be heard. Let them share what's on their mind. It's okay. It may not be right, but have some dialogue. Have some good conversation. Helen Keller, the great Helen Keller, listen what she wrote. I believe every child has hidden away somewhere in his being noble capacities which may be quickened and developed if we go about it the right way. We as parents and grandparents could get the best out of our kids if we just practice good listening skills. We're not always right. And kids, for you young people, we're right most of the time. Okay? But we have to learn how to be open. If we go about it the right way according to God's instructions, someone once said, a child's mind is like a bank. Whatever you put in it, you get back 10 years with interest. Right? You get it back. A chip off the old block. Well, we want it to be a good block that the chip comes off of. And we have to be mindful of that. I'd like to end with this. How many remember Irma Bombeck? Prolific writer. I used to read her columns because she was such a wise woman. And listen to what she writes. I sent this to my daughter, Jennifer, and she texted me back from work. She said, Dad, this made me cry. Listen to this. She says, I see children as kites. You spend a lifetime to get them off the ground. You run with them until you're both breathless. They crash. They hit the top of a roof. You patch. You comfort them. You adjust. You teach. You watch them lifted by the wind and assure them that someday they'll fly. And finally, they're airborne. They need more string, and you keep letting it out. But with each twist of the ball of twine, there's a sadness that goes with that joy. The kite becomes more distant. And you know it won't be long before that beautiful creature will snap the lifeline that binds you together and will soar as it was meant to soar, free and alone. Only then do you know that you did your job. Wow. So moms and dads and grandparents, teach them the decrees and the commandments of God. Write them upon their hearts. Impress upon your children and grandchildren. Talk about them when you're sitting at home and when you're walking along the way on the beach. Share with them God's decrees. And when they grow older, they will not depart from them. And they will pass these decrees and these habits and these disciplines and these family traditions onto the next generation and the generation following. We have an awesome responsibility as parents and grandparents. And we have an awesome privilege as well. What a blessing, what a joy, what an awesome responsibility God has rested in our hands. May we do so well. And I say this from the bottom of my heart. Moms, grandmas, you're doing a great job. Happy Mother's Day. Amen.